We can give thanks to God for all that He is doing in our lives, in our world, and in our church. And I hope that you're glad to be back out here tonight on this Veterans Day weekend. And in your bulletin this morning and tonight, you have a Pray for America and Israel guide. And I hope that that's exactly what you'll do. Do we need prayer in our world today? Amen. Do we need to be praying for Israel? Amen. Do we need to be praying for America? Amen. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you prepared for spiritual warfare? If the devil were to come after you, would you win or would you lose the battle? Again, we're going to talk tonight about a matter that is so very, very serious in our day and in our time. But friends, it's been serious since the day of the Garden of Eden. Because it was as far back as the Garden of Eden, old Satan came, didn't he? He came into that garden, and he talked a little bit to Eve, and oh, he sounded so good. And he deceived her, didn't he? Have you ever been deceived? Has somebody ever talked to you just a little bit, and it sounded so good? But then you discovered it was false. So you see, we're talking about something that goes all the way back to the beginning. But here we are in our time. And that's our time now. And so again, I'm going to ask you, are you prepared for spiritual warfare? If Satan were to come after you, and think about this. Satan does come after people. The Bible teaches us that. There was old Job. Job was doing everything right. He was praying for his children. He was offering sacrifices to God. And God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job a just man, a perfect man, one who eschews evil? And Satan gave God an excuse, and God said, have at him. Do you remember Peter? Peter, he was that great spokesman for all the disciples, and you know, Peter, bless his soul, he had an ability to speak before he thought, and so he always had one or the other foot in his mouth. But Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go to the cross with you, and if they forget you, I won't. And Jesus looked at Peter, and he said, Satan's asked permission to sift you. Well, what if Satan asked permission to sift you? Are you prepared for spiritual warfare? Would you win or would you lose the battle? And so this matter is so serious. And the Apostle Peter understood it. He had to fail first, friend, but failure is never fatal as long as you lean on Jesus. And Jesus picked him up and Jesus restored him. But Peter remembered, and he's writing to Christians just like you and me, and he writes, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, prowleth around. He walks about. He walks about in this church tonight. I've told you this before. Every time a preacher gets up to preach the word of God, Satan enters the church. He's trying to distract you from the message tonight. He's trying to get you off track tonight. And then the Holy Spirit of God is also at work in this church tonight. And he's trying to draw you near to God. And you got a choice tonight because you have a free will. You can either draw near to God or you can allow Satan to lead you away. Oh, God, help us. So Peter writes, he, as a roaring lion, he walks about. Prowl. You know, you ever seen a lion prowl? You ever watch some of those old Mutual of Omaha shows, and that lion gets down in that crouch, and he's just looking for the weak link, and when he finds it, boom, he pounces, and he's got it, don't he? You see, Satan goes around the night seeking whom he may devour. And friend, if you're not prepared, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be devoured. Oh, I tell you. Tonight we're going to look into God's perfect word of liberty. And I say liberty because Jesus taught, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Are you a disciple? I'm not asking if you're a Christian. I'm asking if you're a disciple. Do you read this word? Do you read it every day? Do you hide the word of God in your heart that you might not sin against Him? Do you draw near to God? Do you resist the devil? The Bible says, resist the devil, draw near to God, and he'll run from you. Are you on your knees praying? You know, that's what the devil fears. A Christian down on his knees in prayer. A Christian who is reading their Bible. And friend, if you don't sow the word of God in your heart, you're like a beef tenderloin to the devil. He looks at you as prime. He's licking his chops. He says, there's one of those weak, lily-livered Christians. Ooh, they look good to me. And he starts to prowl. And he might not come at you directly. He might come at your children. He might come at your grandchildren. He comes in some other way, but he's a coming after you. So I'm asking you, are you prepared for spiritual warfare? Freedom is liberty. And Jesus wants us to live in liberty. He wants us to live free. So Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Friend, if you want to live the abundant life of liberty that the Lord Jesus Christ promised, we must not give the devil a foothold into our lives. We can't give him a beachhead. That's the title of this message. Don't give the devil a beachhead. And so I want you to be finding in God's word tonight, and I hope that you get in the habit of carrying your Bible. Oh, I long for the days of yesterday when people used to carry their Bible to church. And you know, if you brought it, you got a star if you was just a little kid in Sunday school. To encourage you, keep carrying the Bible. Keep carrying the Bible. Don't get caught naked. Keep carrying the Bible. It is the Word of God that will protect you, and I hope that you carry it everywhere you go. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, and we're going to be finding chapter 4 and verse 25. And when you find it, if you would please rise, because the commander-in-chief of our souls has some instructions for us tonight. And so he writes, I'm in verse 25 of Ephesians 4, and if you're there, shout amen. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. There it is. In big, bold print. Neither give place to the devil. Drop down there to verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, would you bow with me in prayer? Oh, Father God, tonight as you speak to us once again, Lord, I pray that every heart here recognizes that you are the commander-in-chief of our souls. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the great I am. You are our rock, our high tower, our buckler. You are our salvation. And Lord, we have come tonight that we might grow in our faith, that we might be strengthened with all might according to your purpose, that we might walk worthy of the title of being called a Christian, a child Oh, Lord, could you say of us, as you said of David, down there at Green Valley, there's a bunch of people who are people after my own heart. And, oh, Lord, how we pray it would be so. Help us tonight, dear Jesus, as we preach the word of the living God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friends, I want you to understand something here. Paul's writing to a little local church in Ephesus. He might be, and he's writing to us here at Green Valley tonight. And the warning given to the Apostle Paul to write unto us is this: do not be cultivating knowing sin in your life. Because when you do, you know what you're doing? You're giving Satan a foothold. You're telling Satan, come on in, I welcome you, and come in and build your beachhead right here in my life. When you're watching things on TV you ought not to be watching. When you're listening to things you ought not to be listening to. When you're looking at something you ought not to be looking at. When you're, again, we sin with our eyes. What we see goes down to our heart. What we hear goes down to our heart. And guess what comes out of our mouth? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Don't give Satan a foothold. Don't give him a beachhead. Don't give him a place to begin to operate in your life. That's why Paul writes, neither give place to the devil. You see, he can't get in if you don't give him a place. But he walks right in when you open the door. Friends, in the language of spiritual warfare, God's order for us is this: don't give Satan the beachhead. That's a term that comes from the military. And a beachhead is a strategic position from which you now can operate. And all of the sins that God has Paul mentioned in this little 7-verse passage of Scripture will affect not only yourself, it's going to affect your wife, and it's going to affect your children, and it's going to affect your grandchildren, and it's going to affect this church, because we are members one of another. What I do affects you, what you do affects me, and what we do affects our community and affects the testimony of our church. It affects the reputation of our church in the community. And when the community looks at Green Valley, oh boy, I hope we get to the point where we look like the light of the world. I hope we get to the point where we look like Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's the first sin he mentions. Wherefore, put away lying. We learned last Sunday evening about a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. And we saw what God did when they lied in the early church. They lied to God first. And I want you to understand something. When you don't tell the truth, you have lied to Almighty God first. Every sin is against God. How do we know this? Joseph said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? Every sin is first against God and then against somebody else. And they lied. And one of Satan's weapons of choice is lying. It's the weapon he seeks to use first. Jesus warned us. He said Satan is the father of lies, didn't he? And since he doesn't speak the truth, now Satan doesn't speak the truth, does he? And if we choose to lie, do you know what we're doing? We're not speaking the truth either. And so he says here, wherefore put away lying, speak every man what? Truth. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer it in church. You can come confess it at the altar call if necessary, but don't answer it. What comes out your mouth? Is it truth? Or is it something else? telling lies gives Satan an opportunity to go to work in you. And as I said, we never sin only unto ourselves. Our sin, even if it's done in secret, is seen by God. And it moves us out of fellowship with God. We could very well be saved, but we're now out of fellowship with God. Or we've moved out from the umbrella of God's protection. And sin has consequences, and we know this because we've seen it all throughout the Bible. I doubt David, when he had that ungodly fling with Bathsheba, ever dreamed it was going to take the lives of four of his children. We never sin in secret. And so, if we lie, it damages so much. It damages our integrity. It damages whether people can trust us or not. Oh, lies do great damage. And Satan's desire, and it's why it's listed first, is to come after us and to get us. Don't tell the truth. Lie. Don't take responsibility. Lie. You know why? Because he wants to tear down the body of our family. He wants to tear down your credibility. And he wants to tear down God's church. If the sin of deceit is in my life, since we belong to each other, it's going to affect us all. If it's in your life, the same thing. Now, you know as well as I do that every church has people in it who are close to each other, and we influence those we're closest to, don't we? And if we lie, we're influencing them in a wrong way. And many a church, because some soul wasn't truthful about a situation, influence they chose, or they were close to, they to the wrong side. And friends, whenever you choose a side, do you know what you're doing? You're in a spirit of disunity. And God is a God of unity. And this church knows all too well the pain and the hurt that comes from church splits. And friends, we don't even have to say a word to tell a lie. Because Ananias and Sapphira took hold of Satan's temptation. He tempted them to lie. And they chose again to lie to God first, but their lie was going to affect the church. Was their sin keeping back some of the money? No. Their sin was trying to get y'all to think they were better than they really were. They didn't talk to y'all. They talked to Peter. And if they would have got away with it, the rest of the church would have thought, boy, look at them. They's really something. And they were living a lie. They wanted to make people think they were more spiritual than they really were. When in reality, they were just a couple of hypocrites. That's all they were. And that's all liars are. Understand, sometimes we influence others with lying words. And sometimes by lying acts, trying to make people believe we're something we are not. Lies tear down the body. But Jesus says here, or Paul speaking, writing God's word, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth. How many of you would agree with me? The truth isn't always easy to hear, is it? Lies tear down the body. Truth builds up the body. And since God is the God of truth, his word is truth, and his spirit
is truth. And the Spirit. Amen.
I want you to know something tonight. It is impossible for someone to be in fellowship with God while they are harboring a lie. That's why Paul writes, it is imperative for us to be found speaking the truth in love. You realize even little white lies tear down the body, don't they? Now, what are some of the excuses people give for not speaking the truth? Well, they say things, well, I didn't want to hurt somebody. Or, I was so concerned for someone's feelings. Really? If you were really concerned for their feelings, you would have spoke the truth in love. They say, I didn't want to make the other person feel bad. Do you know sometimes you got to feel bad so you can get good? It's all right to make people feel bad every now and again. The Bible says the blueness of a wound heals. The tongue of flattery is deceit. Sometimes people lie using the excuse, well, you see, I'm concerned. Or, and the reality is simply, they don't want to confront the situation. What does the Bible teach when it comes to having to confront a situation? This is what the Bible says. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Well, let me ask this side. Are them on that side your friends? And let me ask this side. Are them on that side your friends? Let me ask this side. Has this side always done everything right? Let me ask this side. Has that side always done everything right? How many of you have ignored it because you just didn't want to have a little confrontation? And the thing festered, and it just got worse and worse and worse. See, it can't get better till you lance that wound. And so sometimes we got to say some hard things to one another. But I want to tell you, when you say some hard things to one another, you're going to come out the other side with a whole brand new perspective on a relationship. And so faithful are the wounds of a friend. And there's another reason people lie, and it's because they assume the worst about one another. Now, you know as well as I do that if we walk in the flesh and not in the spirit, we are going to fall prey to judging people, just the way it goes. For example, we judge them by the way they look, the things they say, or the things they do, and that's not all we judge them by. We say, who dressed that person? You think that's a ridiculous outfit they're wearing today? By golly, I've been judged as a preacher before. I had some woman say to me, who dressed you? Preacher, that tie doesn't go with your suit at all. It's the dumbest thing I ever saw. Have you ever stopped to consider if God judged us and thought about us the way we think about others? Well, friend, let me ask you, would we have any hope? God says his ways are not our ways. And God, thank God, doesn't leave us to our ways. Now God comes to our aid in his word and he tells us he wants to give us some help so we don't fall prey to this nonsense that tears apart a church or tears apart a family or tears apart a community or tears apart best friends. And so God says this to us, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you know why God gives us this instruction in his word? Because you cannot think the worst and the best about somebody at one and the same time. Let me ask you a question. Why is it we always look for the worst in people instead of something that's praiseworthy? Why is it that we are more apt to criticize than be compassionate? God says to us in another place, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that love will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Do you know who wrote that? The Apostle Peter. Did Peter always do everything right? Did Peter make some poor value judgments of others? Did Peter always think the way he should think? No. Do we? Always do everything right. What does it mean having compassion one of another? I think it means to walk a mile in the other person's shoes. I think it means seeking to understand situations from their perspective. I think it means asking ourselves some hard questions like, do I know what they may be going through? Do I know what they're really dealing with? Have I even tried to understand why they would think or feel as they do? Satan doesn't want us to think that way. He doesn't want us to have compassion for one another. No, when this side messes up, he wants this side to start criticizing. Well, say that old Jerry Hawkins, he always been that way. He never been no good. Oh, what a rotten feller he is. And when this side messes up, they say, oh, that Buddy Kaiser, what a hard, stiff-necked person he is. And George just go right along with him. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to get on the boxing gloves and get out and whack one another because you criticize instead of have compassion for one another. Hey, you don't understand what poor old Jerry might be going through or what Buddy might be going through in that moment. You just jump into conclusions and assuming things, aren't you? See, Satan just wants to tear us apart. He doesn't want us to know the truth about one another. He doesn't want us to know the truth about God's Word. He doesn't want us to know that we're to have compassion. He wants to have us criticize. He wants us to lie. He wants us to jump to conclusions, to assumptions, and we all know what assumptions do. Amen? He doesn't want the church united because he knows if the church is united, it'll be winning souls, building up the kingdom, and building up believers and growing the kingdom of God. Have you ever wondered why so many churches are dysfunctional? Have you ever wondered why so many churches fight, bicker, back and forth? Who's behind it? And who's playing the fool? Who has a hold of you? You know, I've had the opportunity, and God has blessed me with the opportunity to preach in a lot of places around the United States and to preach in Argentina, and oh, what a blessed time it was. But friends, I want you to know something. I don't speak a lick of Spanish, but I had an interpreter. And I went to the church there in Cordoba, Argentina. And one of the members of that church came up, and you know what they did? They just started running down their church. And he'd interpret what they were saying. But you know, the same thing happened when I was preaching revival at a church in Indianapolis, Indiana one time. It happened when I was down in Alabama and in Georgia and in Pennsylvania. And when I was over on the other side of the state one time, I was visiting a church, and a little lady took us around for a day so we could see the area before we preached on that Sunday. And the very first thing that came out of her mouth, do you know what it was? She said, "Well, I'm glad you're here. We're going to have a fun day together. But let me tell you about my church. What we need is 3 good deacon funerals." She said, "If we could just see those funerals happen real quick, well, our church would turn right around." Do you know who she was working for? She was working for Satan. But I'll tell you one thing. I couldn't wait to see those deacons on Sunday. I wanted to know who they was. And I wanted to tell them, but I couldn't. I wanted to tell them, "Do you know there's a member in this church who put a price on your head?" But I couldn't tell them that either. Why is it? And I've heard it here. Things that have nothing to do with anything, and people will stand up in a business meeting and make a complaint about something. Friend, why are we complaining? Who's behind that? We ought to be the most joyful people, the happiest people, the most tight, united people in the world, because we're standing on the truth. Do you know what division says to a world outside? There's no power in God. Well, I want to ask you, is there power in God? Has God transformed you? Are you saved, and is your name written down on the roll? Or are you going to be called up yonder? Well, friend, if we're going to be called up yonder, we ought to act like it, amen? We ought to be united. But Satan knows if he can get us to lie, if he can get us to criticize, and most criticism is nothing more than lies. If he can get us at odds, and if he can get us divided, he knows he's got us in a dysfunctional state. We can't operate no matter how hard we try, because we're out of fellowship with God. And guess what? When you're out of fellowship with God, you're out of fellowship in every other relationship with wife in life. That's why wives can't get along with husbands. Children can't get along with parents. The government can't get along and come up with a solution, because they're at odds or out of fellowship with God. That's why Jesus says we must love one another. Now think about all that entails in love. Probably the best example is a marriage. 2 people come together. Oh, you had fun dating. Now you get married. Now you got to live with them. And they don't do what you do. And they squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom. You squeeze it from the middle. You name it, but you got to learn to live together, don't you? You got to have compassion for one another, because if you don't have compassion for one another, then it won't be long, husband, if you're criticizing all the time, you're going to be in the doghouse. And what I'm saying is, that's a dysfunctional marriage, isn't it? We cannot give place to the devil. We've got to love one another as Christ loves us, warts and all. God says to us, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth." I tell you, any good marriage, both the husband and wife have learned to suffer with one another. They've learned to bear one another's burdens. They've learned to love in spite of the differences in the way they do things. They've learned to get along. They've learned to love. And what God is saying to us tonight, speak the truth in love. Hey, God is saying in this passage of Holy Scripture to us, His troops on the battlefield. Our Commander-in-Chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, is commanding us and ordering us that we are to be kind. We are to be unselfish. We are to believe the truth and not evil. We're to bear with one another, believe in one another, hope with one another, and endure with one another. Why does our Commander-in-Chief demand this from us? Because that's what Jesus Christ does for us every single day. Think of all He's had to bear with us. He died for us. That cross is a reminder. Every time we come into this church, we see the cross and we know what it means. Jesus died to save our sorry soul, sinful souls. There's nothing in us that should make Christ want to love us, but love us He does. And yet even after being saved, sometimes we have thoughts. And oh, how ungodly they are. And He sees everyone. And sometimes we do, and sometimes we say things that aren't what He would do and what He would say. And He has to bear with us. And sometimes we act like spoiled children. And oh, the patience He exhibits upon us. He loves us. Unconditionally. And He wants us to love one another as He loves us. And it doesn't matter how others treat us. It doesn't matter if they run us through the mud, if they have a conniption fit and accuse you of every kind of thing. It doesn't matter what people call you. It doesn't matter how they treat you. What matters is how we behave and our response to what others do and how they treat us. And remember, did this world treat Jesus well? They hated Him for His love. They hated Him without a cause. But He loved Him just the same. And that's what we're to do. We're to be kind, tender-hearted, and unselfish. We're to seek truth. We're to look for the good in one another. Now, I don't know what you may be going through in your family. I don't know what you may be going through in life. I don't know what you're going through in the workplace or out in the community. But understand this, we are called to love one another. Listen, when I'm up here preaching against sin and preaching against that other agenda, don't ever get the idea we're preaching about what is wrong in order that we can hopefully love them into the kingdom and that they might come to see the light. We don't hate the sinner because Jesus doesn't hate the sinner, does He? Oh, how He loves the sinner. And we're to love the sinner and we're to hate the sin. We're to look for the good. And I'm so glad God thought that I was worthy to be saved. What about you? We're to obey what the word of our Commander-in-Chief says. Does Jesus lie? But He speaks the truth in love, doesn't He? And when we do bad, He doesn't dislove us. He loves us still. But He corrects us, doesn't He? He gives us the grace to go through the circumstances we need to bear for the wrong that we did, but He still loves us. We never have to worry about whether we're going to be called up yonder because we did something wrong, because He doesn't operate that way. When He says unconditional, that's how He loves us. And I don't care whether Jerry's always been bad or Buddy's got a stiff neck. Yeah, I love him just the same. And that's what we're to do, friend. Now, if you're listening online, don't get the idea these two men are bad. They're very wonderful men. We're just using them for example tonight. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, or whatsoever things are honest, or whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know why? Because we must be known outside these walls. For our compassion, we must be known for our Christ-like love, because we all know we're not always right. We don't always do everything right. We don't always perceive situations correctly. And most of the time, we don't know what others may be dealing with. But if God's people would employ this one truth, put away lying, put away criticism, speak the truth in love to one another, do you realize Satan would never gain a foothold? He'd never get a beachhead from which he can operate within his church. He wouldn't get one into your family. Friends, how many of you would agree with me these are days of great spiritual battle? Have you ever seen days like this? It seems like the whole world's getting darker, doesn't it? Well, let me ask you, shouldn't we be Christian soldiers marching as the war, shining the light of love, mercy, in grace to a lost and dying world? Shouldn't we be the ones that are speaking the truth in love? Shouldn't we be like Jesus? You know that old cross up there? We sing a song about the old rugged cross, don't we? But that old cross up there just reminds me that His arms are open wide. And He never says no to anybody. It don't matter what you've done. He loves you, doesn't He? Oh, He loves us when we're good. But thank God He loves us when we're bad. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. And I don't know about you, but I want to be like Jesus. And I'd hope tonight you say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to learn to love like Jesus. I want to learn to be kind like Jesus. No matter how I'm treated, it don't matter. I want to learn to think the good about everybody. Even when I can see the bad, I'm still looking for the good. Because you know, nobody's so bad that they're all bad. And nobody's so good that they're all good. There's a little of both in each of us, isn't there? Oh, may we turn the bad over to Him, that we might learn to think, live, and love like He loves us. Well, Father, we just thank You for Your word to us tonight. And oh, Lord, how good it is to hear the word of God. Lord, to just open up the Bible and allow You to preach to us tonight. Oh, God, You're so good. And Lord, here we are and you're directing us, and you're saying, get rid of that old sin of lying. Get rid of that old sin of criticism. Get that stuff out of here. And let me tell you what you need to do. That's what you're saying to us tonight. Oh God, you're asking us to live in the truth, to speak the truth, and Lord, to speak it in love, just as you've spoken to us. And so, Lord, I'm so thankful tonight that you've confronted us over a sin that affects so many people throughout the world. And Lord, I'm so thankful tonight you've given us a solution for it. I'm so thankful, Lord, you've done exactly what we preached about. You spoke the truth in love to us tonight, that we would not give Satan a beachhead in our lives, that we wouldn't give him a place from which he can operate in our lives or our family's lives or this church's life. And Lord, we just humbly bow tonight and we just say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh God, you're so good to us. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody, if they agree, say amen.